Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday. Broadcasting live at the Alabama State House. It is Wednesday, so we do this on Wednesdays. But thanks for staying on and keeping it locked on FM Talk 106.5. Still a couple. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, about a half hour from now. In the interim, if you want to text, you want to respond to anything you are hearing, 251-343-0106. Chairman Garrett, it's still tied up in his committee hearing, so maybe an upgrade here, I believe. State Representative Lee Holsey joining us here, who you and I went to high school about the same time. You were just a year apart, but Pelham High, class of 95, right?
Yes. Go Panthers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then I moved away. We both went to Auburn, but I don't know anybody there these days. I didn't stay in the area. And this is just funny, like, how you're starting to see it all come back together now. But you're a freshman lawmaker. How's it been going for you?
It's been going good. We had a great year last year. Certainly off to a very fast-paced start this year, continuing to learn, and it's been good.
Well, and I'll take a moment of personal privilege here that has nothing to do with my listening audience, but what is the state of Highway 261 ever becoming four-lane?
Oh, my gosh. What have we been working on that for, like, 65 years? Yeah. I don't know.
Because my mom, every time, she's like, when's that road going to get four-lane? I don't know.
Hey, look, those of us that live there want it worse than anybody else does. I definitely know. I mean, I can't remember the time frame, but it wasn't – maybe, don't quote me on it. Maybe a couple years ago we had a public hearing, and it was kind of like the last phase public hearing, and after that, they were going to start acquiring the right-of-ways. They had like 80 right-of-ways to acquire, and so I know they've been working on that, but I don't know if they have finished doing that. I think they're still in that process, but I mean, it is coming. I think it's going to be a few years before it's complete, but it is coming.
Because I talked to Senator Ward at the time, and I mean, that's how long it went. They were all excited, and they wanted to come talk about it. We did a story about it. The mayor at the time, now working for Cam at the Bureau of Pardons and Paroles, but nothing has changed, has it?
No, the funny part is, like, I think that is probably where I really got my feet wet in local politics and understood exactly how hard it is to improve roadways. It's just, there's so many different steps, so many different players, of the studies, all this stuff, and it takes forever.
That one's particularly hard because it's kind of through a populated area. It should have been done 50 years ago. Before it grew the way it did, not just this transportation director, but all his predecessors are to blame, and it just makes it more expensive. But I've wasted my moment of personal privilege there. let's go and kick it off here. You had this clergy bill, and this was something that I think it really does matter to our listening audience, particularly after what happened down our way. But kind of tell us about your legislation here.
Sure. So there is a current law on the books that addresses this exact same subject matter. It's our teacher law. And essentially that law basically waives consent as a defense when it comes to sexual activity with teachers or anyone at a school. From in the state of Alabama, and this kind of confuses people sometimes, the state or the age at which you can give consent for sexual activity is 16 years of age. So 16, 17, and 18-year-olds kind of fall in this little gray area that sometimes do not have the same protections that should be provided to them in spaces where people are working and are in a position of trust or authority over these kids. But basically, this law mimics that law. So it just makes it unlawful for a member of clergy to commit certain sex acts with an individual under the age of 19 or protected persons under the age of 22, and it provides for penalties.
And you know, we don't think about this, but I mean, the times have changed in these settings and what goes on in the culture. I mean, it really is something that, like, you know, it is going to take an act of the legislature to take care of this, right?
I mean, it is. You know, it's funny. It came to me by an individual that's an adult now that was having trouble really getting any kind of help with law enforcement. You know, you usually don't try to bring legislation based on that, but this is serious, and it's one of those times where you're like, one person matters. If we can prevent this for one child, it's worth doing that. But what really broke my heart is after it started getting a little bit of media attention, the number of individuals that were reaching out to me that have had this same situation occur and absolutely no recourse because of this little technical loophole in our laws as they exist today. I was sort of surprised, if I'm honest with you, but it's certainly something that needs to be addressed. It has to be.
Yeah, and you know, we but you see it all the time. I guess it's more of an issue than maybe we realize. These things tend to, you know, be swept under the rug or whatever. They're very sensitive in nature. But here you are, there is an oversight in state law that's got to be addressed. And tell me this, have you got any pushback against it?
I won't say pushback. I've certainly had individuals want me to broaden the scope of it. But that gets a little bit more complicated. And part of the reason for that is the scope expansion they're looking for really addresses volunteers in different capacities. And it's a whole lot harder to kind of tackle that issue. And I'm not opposed to tackling it, but it's a whole lot harder to tackle something when you're talking about volunteers. And that's just doing, you know, what we do in our communities, serving on rec baseball teams and things like that, versus being in an occupation where you have a literal position of influence, power, or trust over a specific child. That's really the only thing that, you know, has kind of been brought to my attention. But other than that, I've had overwhelming support. Worked with the AG's office on this, worked with the DA's office or DA's association on this, ALCAP, the Southern Baptist Convention worked on this. I mean, we've spent months really fine-tuning, working, exploring other additional inclusions, and just kind of settling on, at the end of the day, this is the piece we want to tackle. And we want to make sure that these places are safe for kids. And please know, I do think in general, most of our churches are wonderful churches, and this isn't a problem. But it does exist, and it has to be addressed.
It does. The enforcement mechanism, the penalty, walk us through that, how that works, how that would play out.
So there are four different, you know, they call it kind of like under, you know, under circumstances. And the circumstances, all of them carry either a Class B felony or Class C felony charge. There's two that address sexual content, sodomy, sex acts, as they're defined by certain portions of our law. Those are Class B felonies. The other two specifically deal with solicitation, so more of your enticement, the grooming pieces of that, or the distribution of inappropriate sexual material to minors. Those carry the Class C felonies.
Yeah, and when you have one of these circumstances, like, is there a reporting mechanism? I mean, this is where the reporting it to the authorities, like, is there a way to convey that that sort of protects? Is this even part of the scope of the bill?
So honestly, really, this bill will kind of provide that. The biggest problem that that I've had kind of brought to my attention by parents or other young adult women that just do not want to be named for very understandable reasons, is every time they were going to law enforcement, it was essentially, there's nothing we can do. You know, you didn't say no. You consented by not saying no, essentially. But now we've gotten this out of the House. If we get out of the Senate and the governor signs this, it's going to make that very clear for law enforment. There won't be any struggles or vagueness.
There won't be ambiguity.
No, it's super clear. Very simple, right. Super clear. And it will finally give these girls what they need, and boys.
Well, did they break the law, or what's the age? Right. Yeah, so this provides the goalpost.
Right.
The definitive goalpost. Yep. Joined by State Representative Lee Hulsey of Helena here for just a few more minutes. You got a caucus lunch to get to. But, you got a public safety bill dealing with EMS and firefighters. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is honestly just kind of an extension of last year. I passed a law enforcement bill that required training every other year on interacting with individuals with invisible or sensory disabilities. It's the exact same bill, but this time it is addressing our firefighters, our certified volunteer firefighters, and our EMS. And so just trying to kind of complete that work, help get all of our public safety people kind of under the same training and make sure that we're doing a good job to equip them with tools for their tool belt and also provide for public safety.
This is just a bunch of different programs out there and no one unified way of doing things. So like what's,
well, there's just nothing right now that requires it. If it was happening, it was really only happening on a voluntary basis. Yeah. Of an agency, but now it's all done through the same. It's online training. It's free. It's 1 hour. It's simple, and everybody's simple getting enough. The same training.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Heading into this, this session, and your freshman caucus leader, what's that? I mean, is what kind of duties does that entail? Now, Matt Simpson, who preceded you, and he's from our area. What's your day like, or does that come up? Like, what do you do right now in that role?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like this undefined role, right? But for me, I've just kind of taken on the role of serving them, right? It's at the end of the day, it's to try to work to help them however I can, answer questions for them. If they're having, you know, problems finding the right person to talk to for an answer, it's essentially just assisting them in any way that I can to help them be effective, communicate with them. It's really much of what I do right now as a state rep. It's just serving them in any way that I can, addressing their needs the same way I do my constituents for District 15.
Well, it's a lot, right?
It is, but it is a wonderful opportunity and an honor to serve them that way.
You got bills, and then you got a leadership role, you know, and that's you were elected to that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. By my freshman class.
Elected twice, I heard. But congratulations on that. Well, Representative, you're very kind to make time for us this morning, and best of luck to you. And I tell you what, you ever hear of any ground being broke on that road? You need to let me know. I every time I go home, I get asked by my mom, is she gonna live long enough to see this?
Well, I will update you when I hear something, and I really appreciate you having me today. Thank you so much.
Lee Hulsey, state representative from Helena there. We got to get a quick timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.